Welcome back.
Thanks.
I miss sitting on this couch with this.
I did miss it.
Did you?
You know, the last 3 months have gone by in a blink of an eye, so I don't know that I had time to miss anything because I have no idea which way is up.
That is fair. Is there anything you would like to share about your past 3 months? I mean, everyone knows where you've been.
Yes, there is a new lovely being in our world. Miss Rin Fiddle Miller joined us on December 1st, and she's perfect for me. I like to say that perfection is not the goal. No one is perfect, and neither is she, but she is perfect for me. And I thank her for that because she's my vibe.
She is. She is a excellent sleeper.
She is.
I'll say that first off.
I don't want to brag, but she's an excellent nighttime sleeper. She's a terrible daytime sleeper, but
which I feel like you are as well. A terrible napper.
I haven't connected that, but I very much own that I am a terrible napper, and so is she.
Yes, and I don't know that that's helpful to you during the day as you're trying to get things done, but it does track.
Yeah. And if I had to pick one, I would pick the nighttime sleeping.
That is also, I agree. not interrupted sleeping is key.
Yes. And she giggles now and rolls over, and she's very cute and strong. She's very strong. As we are today talking about leading ladies, I think she's going to be a hell of a leading lady.
I think she is too. Yeah. She's going to take the world by storm. Mm-hmm. Already taking the world by storm.
But yes, fastest 3 months ever to come back, but just in time. She will be at the festival, for those curious. Where she'll be, I don't know.
We are going to have a little tracking device on her so we can find her at all times.
I keep forgetting I need to buy one of those. Apple. I really am going to put a little Apple tracking device on her because I feel like I'm going to be like, where? I'm sure she's safe. I'm sure someone who loves her has her, but where she is unknown.
Well, it's the reason you're going to need to know where she is because anyone that you know personally or people that you don't are, that's going to be their first question.
Where is she?
They're going to see you. They're going to be like, hi.
Where's Rin?
Where's Rin?
I don't know. I'm a great mom already. I don't know where she is. She's in safe, loving hands.
Yes. Absolutely.
I just don't know who's.
And if it's during the day, she's probably not napping.
No, she's not. She's probably screaming at someone or giggling or she's got a serious stare down face. So, We're very excited for her to join. First ATX TV baby.
Yay. Also in exciting news, we had an announcement.
A little bit ago. Last week. Great.
Yes.
Last week. What is time? I already told you I don't know what time it is.
You've already...
I like don't know where I am and I don't know when it is. Has Easter happened?
Yes.
Okay,
it
great.
Has.
It did. Great.
Very quickly, but it did happen and it happened pretty early. I feel like
everything's early, including the festival.
Including the festival, yes. I mean, we are.
Rin was also early. Everyone's early.
We're less than 2 months out from the festival. Yes. We are announcing things left and right.
Left and right, up and down.
But we've got some exciting new additions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea what they are?
I do. I am very excited about Mark Duplass. I'm just saying. We announced Mark Duplass is coming to talk about indie TV. I'm also excited that he is excited about this concept of independent television. I feel like we have now, over a decade into the festival, have ridden the peak TV wave. We were at the beginning of it.
We really were at the beginning of it, I know. Which is very exciting.
We were at the beginning of it. We crested the whole thing. It is now coming to a crashing halt. You know, that's not funny. And Mark is excited about whatever the next stage of television is. And as somebody who was very much in the indie film front and then has been a television guy, I like totally off the record, but like we...
Off the record. Yeah. Out to no, everyone that
not
might
off
be
the
listening.
Record. Not off the record. I also don't have words because I'm still... Everything's coming back online. Like a side tangent of it is he thought of us to have this conversation at the festival. And so I had a lovely conversation with him about what a panel would be. And he came a few years ago for room 104 and he wanted to come back and thought we were the right place to have this conversation about the next stage and iteration of television and business-wise why it can work and all these other things. And I'm talking a lot about one person and a very big announcement, but I just, it was right as I came back from maternity leave, I got to have a nice conversation with Mark about a panel that he wanted to do. And it was just a really, it was a great reentry.
I love it. I feel like that also makes you excited to come back. Really? Like, yeah. This is, we're in it. We're programming. Things are coming together.
Yes. I'm a professional lady.
Yes. Yes. We also announced some screenings of new episodes, some of new shows, some of returning series.
Correct.
So Hotel Cocaine.
New show with two ATX alums, one ATX ambassador.
Yes. Mark Forstein and Danny Pino. Ambassador Mark Forstein and just delightful,
regular old alum.
Delightful person all around, Danny Pino.
Yep.
It was just
on an MGM Plus amazing series that we get to premiere before it airs.
Yes, which is always really exciting always for us, especially when people that we love are in these shows.
Yeah.
It's fun for us to showcase it first and can be the launching pad for some great shows and a platform that we started working with last year and are just fantastic.
Yeah.
We also have the world premiere. I'm asking these questions as I'm announcing them, or they've already been announced, of the first episode of Fantasmas with Julio Torres, who
ATX
is
alum.
Also an ATX alum and absolutely having a moment and is just a very cool person. I feel like I got more text about this part of the announcement than anything else that we announced. So very excited about that. Industry season three.
Very excited about this.
A new episode. We'll be screening.
Very, very excited about this with
cast
creators
and creatives.
And cast.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty Little Liars, Summer School, which
fun
is
times
the spinoff.
Max is showing up in force.
Yes, they are, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. Also, this is not a new screening, but it is a screening of an episode of Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
Which
you're excited. I mean, I'm excited
so
about
excited.
It. I'm excited about this too. But Emily like fought for this, which she didn't have to fight that hard because Noah Hawley's on our advisory board and lives in Austin and wanted to do it. But
so I had to fight really hard. You're welcome. I made this happen.
But a season four screening of
five.
But the reason why it's worthwhile and what we don't always do this with screenings, but it's going to be gorgeous on a big screen.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Like, that's
yes
why you're going to want to go see this. This, the drama, the beauty, it's going to be a really cool big theater screen experience.
Yes. And I feel like this, we're screening it. It's been enough months since it premiered
yes
that you can watch it all anew.
Yeah.
And I also like, because I think we're screening the first episode, mm-hmm, which is also fun to go back with such a brilliant season to go back and watch the first episode because Noah's so great at giving little Easter eggs and building up towards things. So to go back and watch the premiere after I've
which
seen
he directed.
Whole, which he also directed, mm-hmm, which was very cool.
And wrote.
Well, I thought that
obviously
was a given. Yeah.
Maybe it's not obvious. I should go back. I kind of assume sometimes that Noah just wrote them all, but I don't know that that's true. So but he did write and direct this one.
Yes. Correct. Correct. Yeah. So lots of fun stuff. And then, I mean, I'm very excited about all of it, but one of the things that's at the top of my list,
karaoke,
is karaoke presented by Girls Vibe Eva.
I mean, you guys couldn't see her face.
I know.
Her jaw dropped and she had a silent scream.
It was. If you have a camp badge, because karaoke is a camp event for camp badges, and plus karaoke was probably my favorite event of the festival last year. It was so fun. I love it so much, and to have it presented by Girls Vibe Eva, it will be more than just Girls Vibe Eva songs.
Yes,
although we will be singing all of those songs,
and you will
as well
get have like maybe beautifully rewarded for singing
yes
original
yes
Girls Vibe
will
Eva songs.
It's
which, by the way,
so
the
fun
new season's on Netflix right now, and you should go watch it because there's like a Texas vibe to it. And that's all I'm gonna say.
I know all those things. So we got lots of fun panels, lots of fun people, much more still to come. Now is the time where everything locks in, and we just give as much information as we can as soon as we have it. So stay tuned.
Well, it ties to, since we are talking so much about the festival, this panel that we're releasing today, the leading ladies of Amazon Prime, also hits a lot of the things you just said, because we were talking about shows, some of them before they premiered. I'm specifically thinking that Justina Machado's on this panel and her Dolores Roach show, with Gloria Calderon-Kellett had not aired yet. And we got to like see first looks at it. And it was also our finale, our festival finale, which led into a beautiful little Sunday brunch. But it was, you know, it felt like a very festival moment, this panel. And yes, this is a later release of it, but I think it makes it no less important to listen to the ladies and to go back and watch their shows.
Yes, absolutely. Because that's the thing that we love is you can watch great TV at any time. It doesn't have to just come out. You can go back and rewatch things.
I will
you can
say
still discover something new.
With Love, that who's on this panel from With Love?
Imrod Tubia.
With Love is a great rewatch during the year because of all the different holidays. So like, you know,
yes.
After Valentine's Day, watch it. After, you know, it's just, it's
I love those. And I feel like more holidays need the shows that you watch celebrating those holidays and the different times of year. And then it is funny to be coupled with The Horror of Dolores Roach, which is quite dark.
Yep.
Justina Machado plays such great versions of light and dark. Like you think of One Day at a Time where she's, I mean, a very complex, complicated character, but it's like a beautiful, bright, funny show. It's got all this heart and just like, I mean, all the Norman Lear love and Mike Royce and Gloria Calderon-Kellett, like all of that in it. And then you have The Horror of Dolores Roach, which is so dark and takes so many twists and turns, and you aren't really sure where it's going. And she just plays the range so well. She can do anything.
Which is cool that our dear friend Gloria Calderon-Kellett created both of them.
Yes.
Right?
She didn't create The Horror of Dolores Roach. Okay. She did produce it.
She produced it.
Yes.
Okay. So she's got all of those things
inside
of her,
too. Yes, but she's still able to definitely do the range as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we'll let them talk about it.
Yeah.
You should absolutely go watch those shows.
On Amazon Prime.
Yes. So here is the leading ladies of Prime Video, moderated by Jacqueline Coley of Rotten Tomatoes.
Good morning, y'all. I know you're not here to see me, so let's bring out these leading ladies. First, I want to welcome Justine Machado, actor and leading lady of The Horror of Dolores Roach. Also, Imrod Tubia, leading lady and actor of With Love. Oh, don't be that shy. You got to come a little closer. I want y'all close. Let's make this family.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
Is it still morning? No, afternoon?
It is, just barely.
Thank you for joining us.
I want to thank y'all for making it down to Texas. I think everyone's really excited to talk about this because both of you have shows that, like, again, I hate to say it, the love is a part of what you do. Imrod, I want to start with you because I think this is so great. When I was researching this panel, I think with both of you ladies, knowing the rich, deep parts of your filmography was so great to get to know, because I know a lot of you may know her from Shadowhunters. I do too. But she was really deep in TV like before then. She had 100 credits and y'all like 100 episodes on a show before you got there. Talk about your journey to Hollywood though, because you have such, I think, like, don't wave it off because
okay, well, no, you know, I'm actually from Texas. I'm from a small city called Brownsville, Texas.
Yes,
yeah,
South Texas.
So I'm
stand
really
up.
Excited to be home. My cousin is driving over to see me tonight, so I won't be this happy tomorrow, if you know what I mean. We're gonna be out and about, so if you see me, don't say hi. No, I'm just kidding. I grew up with my girlfriends, and I remember it was a hard town to live in. If you made wrong decisions, you end up having to pay the price. So I feel very lucky to have left and pursued my dreams. I had the support of my parents, which I feel very grateful for. I did a couple of stuff in Miami doing Spanish television. That was fun. I would record about 20 scenes a day using an earpiece that would feed me all my lines. And then eventually I moved to Hollywood, and obviously things weren't the same. But I think girls like us need to break the rules to get where we want to be. And I had to do a lot of that, but work extra hard. You have to prove yourself a lot more, that you're worth it and that you are talented and it happened. You know, I booked my show pretty early on, and I've been feel very blessed to have been working. But in a way, it feels a little lonely. Like, if you really think about Latinas working on television, leading a show, you can count them maybe with one hand.
Yeah. And let's be real, our person that's not here, but here in spirit, Gloria Calderon,
Gloria,
is responsible,
yes,
for half of them. Oh, we're gonna brag on the matriarch of what brings a lot of the ladies to Amazon's leading ladies list. But Justina, I also want to talk about your journey, because this was kind of great for me, because you've been on my screen and in my house since, like, you know, the 90s, literally. I remember some Law and Order episodes, do y'all? Because I do.
I just did Law and Order for the first time ever.
No, not Law and Order. But yes, that's what I'm saying, though.
ER.
Thank you very much. But one thing I definitely want to mention, though, is 6 Feet Under. Yes. As much as your performance in that was incredible, moving forward to something like One Day at a Time, I mean, that is such an incredible journey. I mean, you literally were with us in the darkest moments of death with 6 Feet Under. And then there's like One Day at a Time that brings us to life. So I'd love for you to break down your nearly 100 credits worth of television over these decades, because it's such an incredible journey.
Oh my God. Well, I am originally from Chicago. And I don't even know. I've been doing this for so long. It's 6 Feet Under was, of course, my first big thing that kind of put me on the map. And then there was a point where I kind of felt like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to be the lead of a show. So I'm just going to do my best. And I'm just going to, you know, just stop. It didn't seem real, because we don't see it. I was like, where, like she said, it's like a handful of people. Now, yes, especially back then, right? And then One Day at a Time came along. I mean, there's so much in between, but I don't feel like it's as exciting as 6 Feet Under and One Day at a Time, and now the horror of Dolores Roach, you know what I mean? But there's and you talk about on 6 Feet Under, I dealt with death. And on One Day at a Time, it was a comedy. And Dolores Roach is a combination.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
A horror comedy. Oh my so gosh. I bring all of my experience to this role.
One thing before I sort of talk about your individual products and the shows more deeply, I want to talk about this thing as an actor. Everyone understands this number one on the call sheet. You know what I mean? Like the first name. And it depends. Maybe it's just for the day. Sometimes it's literally leading in a show for an entire season. But it's a heady thing. And you guys have been on different sides of it. What was that first day sort of like stepping into? It's your show. You're literally the number one person sort of like leading these moments. And it's very personal, these shows. It's your perspective with whatever is bouncing around you. So talk about that first day and how you approach that moment.
Well, for me, it was like setting the tone of what you want your show to be. But more than anything, I mean, I had Gloria really take me under her wing and talk to me a little bit about it and hold my hand throughout the whole show. So yeah, it's setting the tone, making sure that I am being on time, that I'm being respectful of everyone around, leaving my trailer when I'm being called, staying on set in between takes, being there for my castmates whenever they need anything, and being a friend, introducing myself. To me, those are the things that I really made sure I was doing to make sure that everyone was having just a great time on set. I mean, it's hard not to have a great time shooting with Gloria and this show. It's just such a lovely rom-com that it just, whatever's happening on set just bleeds to the behind the scenes. So, but it is taking that responsibility to be aware of your surroundings and what it entails to be a number one on the call sheet.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And also setting the tone, right? Because I've been on so many shows where I was not, you know, the star of the show. And sometimes the stars behaved badly and made other people not feel worth it. And I always said, when I'm the star of a show, I'm going to make sure that everybody feels like they should be there, feels like they have a voice. And, you know, and they're just as important because there's a hierarchy, you know, it's like, and that's the way it is. And we understand that, but I didn't ever want to abuse that hierarchy.
I definitely want to talk about, and you guys did such a great job, like modeling how great it was and everything that you did, but you had to celebrate it a little bit. Cause as an actor, there's certain milestones that you have. It's like being nominated for this or recognized by this peer, or the first time an Oscar person tells you you're a great actor, whatever. There's those moments. that had to be a moment. Tell me you had the Laura Linney, let me dance in my trailer a little bit for
what happened with Laura Linney?
Like in Love Actually when she dances because she gets the guy, you know? Sorry. I think in movie scenes, like, sorry. I think in movie scenes because I have no actual emotions. Apologies. But yeah, what was the, like, it just give me that celebratory moment because it's got to be a moment where you maybe just said, man, pinch me, is this happening? Or maybe when you got the call.
I've had lots of those moments. Yeah. But I mean, those are, you know, I can't remember a lot of them, but they always help. Yeah. They're always something that, you know, I mean, when I first started, I had that moment with Jimmy Smits. You know, I've had that moment with Rita Moreno. I had that moment with Chita Rivera. I've been really lucky to have that moment with a lot of people. No. And yeah, hopefully I can give that moment to somebody now.
That's even better. Yeah, that's even better.
I don't know. I'm like really hard on myself. I feel like I sometimes don't take the time to enjoy and celebrate. And just yesterday, my girlfriend, I'm going to get emotional, that I grew up with, was like, I'm so proud of you. We're from the same hometown. I lived at a couple houses across from each other. And she was like, I'm so proud of you. Like, look at all the stuff that's happening to you. Like, we grew up together. We're pursuing our dreams, and here you are. Like, you know, you're starring on a show. Like, I see your billboards all over LA. Like, celebrate. Like, take the time to really like value everything that you've done. And sometimes we forget to celebrate us, right? Yes. We're constantly like, well, at this moment, great. Well, what's next? And what's next? And how am I going to do this to make sure that my career continues? So yes, I feel like I need to do it a little bit more.
Let's make today one of those, can we, everybody? Because look at this crowd. Seriously, look at you, coming home, making good on your own panel with your like starring show. In fact, why don't we? First of all, I want you to just give us a quick little preview of the show. You already have a bit, and then maybe we'll, after that, take a peek at it. But give us a quick preview before we actually look at the preview.
It's a delicious rom-com. It's like bite-sized shows that you just eat and wanna have fun with. It gives you all the warm fuzzies. It celebrates love. It celebrates family. It really just takes us on this beautiful journey of love.
And we're gonna take a peek at season 2, a trailer for With Love.
Fantastic.
Love. First of all, love that trailer. And I want to remind everyone, this weekend is when season 2 kicked off. So if you haven't caught up, now is the weekend. Like, it's out. It's on your Amazon Prime,
yes,
right?
Yes, please support. The first weekend is really important.
Yes.
And shows like ours really need the support. So thank you.
Yes. And after that, why wouldn't you? That was hilarious. I saw all of you laughing. I definitely want to talk to you about the family aspect of this. But more importantly, as you can tell from that trailer, y'all don't mind getting messy. Y'all don't mind showing the messy parts of relationships, which I think is like refreshing to see in a show. But as an actor, I'm sure it's just like, y'all really do like push the envelope of hijinks and the stuff that they let you get into. Was that what drew you to the role, or what was it about Lily that sort of made you want to go into it?
Well, as an actor, I want to do different roles. I started off doing sci-fi, action, fantasy, and then a loving rom-com. So completely different character. So that automatically drew me to the role. But more than that, she's a cocktail of emotions, and she's me. She's my girlfriends. She's most women out there. We're navigating love at every age. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. Societal expectations, family expectations. On top of that, Latino family expectations. When you're going to get married, when you're going to have kids, be successful, but don't be too successful. They push men away. So it's like, what? Yes. No. So it's like I feel like this character is trying to set her own rules in life. Just like we all are. We're constantly always trying to please people. We get lost, you know, when a boy comes along, we do get lost in their eyes. I'm a big victim of that. But, you know, it's like, when do we set our boundaries? How do we set our standards? What are the things that we want to do in life for ourselves? What makes us happy? And I think that's Lily's journey. In a way, that's my journey. And I think a lot of people can relate.
I definitely do think that. The trailer sort of alludes to it because this is like a very fairy tale type romance. There's the boys that she's caught in between, but it also talks a lot about looking at the signals in life and looking at fate and looking at, you know, again, does that all matter? And it's something that you kind of either buy into or you don't. And I'm just curious if I feel like creatives kind of have to, because otherwise how could you become an actor? Cause that's a prayer. But I do wonder, is it something that, you know, you particularly enjoyed that sort of aspect of exploring?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. Like, you can't be so religious to one or the other. I think, like, hey, if everything is going good, you're putting in the work, and destiny is kind of like letting you go with the flow, go with it. But it's like if you're getting all these red flags, not just with relationships, with work or whatever, it's just try to go a different way.
I do love that. And I do also want to say, we saw from the trailer kind of what we're caught up in between here with like Nick and Santia. Oh,
what a difficult thing to be caught in between. I was just about to say, like, I mean, I could be caught in between them all day long. So please give me more of that.
This show is written by a woman and you can so tell because like these are the two dudes that you want to be. Sometimes these love triangles, you're like, we don't even want either one of them with this one.
Yes, exactly.
We're very much invested in both. Do you get to have a preference? Do you get to like say which one you are? Or do you try to keep it neutral? Like where do you lean?
Oh, where do I stand? Yeah, where do you stand? Or team Santiago? Well,
or can you even
I don't think I can say that. I think I'm team Lily. So let's just go for team Lily.
Okay.
I mean, both are great men. They really are. They stick to their standards and they follow through and they're marvelous. But I mean, I'm again, team Lily. You're putting me in a really hard position right now.
Well, look, it's sort of like, look, everybody's going to ask that one. It literally goes back to everything.
What are you? I'm curious to know what
I mean. I think we know.
What are you?
It's not, Santiago's great, but.
Oh, you're team Nick?
No, I'm team Santiago.
You're team Santiago.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm team
what are
Santiago.
You?
I don't know. You don't know? I like them both, you know what I mean?
I mean, come on
team
now.
Yeah. There
we go. Hey, look, we can divide. We can divide and conquer, and it's best for good television. How about that?
We'll just keep going back and forth. It's all good.
But also, there's another mark involved in this one. Jorge and Lily, it's them together because it's not really just one or the other. Because I do love that you both are exploring your loves and in very different ways. One trying to lean into commitment, and then the other one not. What is it like that sort of brother sister dynamic, and how you guys continue to foster it? Because y'all do. The way that Gloria writes, you're such in a banter. You're so back and forth. You have to have that chemistry with someone, and you have to have it from the minute they say action. How did you guys build that?
Well, Mark and Delicato, I mean, he's just incredible, really. It's easy. I mean, I think Gloria put together a great group of people. Her words just flow out of our mouths. It really is catered in a way to us. And I think that when you work with people that are committed, that are grateful to be where they're at, everything just kind of flows. Gloria has created an incredible environment on set where we all feel safe to express our feelings, our thoughts on the material, and if anything needs adjustment, she's there. She's the first one there and the last one to leave. So without Gloria, we wouldn't be where we're at. And I feel like I've been spoiled working with her that now it's like, I'm sure.
It's like, you can't go back.
But more than anything, it's creating that safe space where we can feel comfortable to play and to say, and to ask and to be. And it's been incredible working with him. I'm an only child. So it's been just really nice to embark on this journey of having a sibling and ranting.
You're not right. I will say this is, it's a good brother and sister dynamic because they don't always get great models on television. And I think it's important with the way the show is trying to represent Latino families and the real dynamics between them. I really do enjoy watching, again, just your own like unabashed, unadulterated dynamic, the good, the bad, and the hilarious. That being said, I'm sure there are moments that were difficult to get through because just like the broad comedy of the show is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, really funny. Like sometimes when they were on his coverage, I had to turn around because I was just laughing. And when my coverage, I was like, can you just give me your back? It's all good. You don't have to say your lines. I'm going to just talk just to the wall. Yeah, because it gets, you know, and time is ticking and time is money. You guys know how it is. So it's like, well, you guys, we have to shoot this. And I'm like, wait, just turn around.
I was just curious if you could name any particular scene where you could say from season one that was like a day where you're like, we just got to make it through because we want to like go back. And,
you know, to me, the hardest part was doing the emotional stuff because feel like Lily is very bubbly and she's very bright and starry-eyed, you know? So it's like all that stuff is fun and really cool to play. But how do we ground her? And we ground her through the stuff that really hurts her. So I feel that to me was a lot harder to make sure that I was portraying her as honest and as vulnerable as possible so the audiences can really see a full person within Lily. So those, like the sweater, there's a really fun, like a get-along sweater. It's a hilarious scene. You guys need to check it out. We go from being really funny to it being really sad. And like a breakup scene between the siblings is also one that was really hard because we say some awful things to each other. And that's the truth sometimes, right? Like, how do you speak to the people you love the most? And sometimes you treat them the hardest. So to me, that was a lot harder.
That unvarnished is what I was talking about. That really, like, again, real brother and sister dynamics, the good and the bad. That was one of the most refreshing parts of it. Before we go on to talk about Dolores, because I definitely want folks to know about this, because we've got, I hate to make it this term, we're talking about this beautiful rom-com or whatever, but we're going to go a different direction a little bit, but it's going to be a great direction. It's going to be really fun. We're right now just kicking off with season two. What can you preview a little bit of what folks have to look forward to for season two with this one and where Lily's going to be? Because we left it pretty.
Yeah.
Will they, won't they? Let's be honest.
Well, you know, Lily starts rock bottom. She's, you know, 29, moving back into her parents' house. That feels like failure. But sometimes you do have to hit rock bottom to really center yourself and see where you want to go. So she kind of is just paving her way back to what she wants in life. It's just, again, it's just a great show that feels good. More than a rom-com, it's a show that really puts together traditionally marginalized people and finally gives them a happy ending. So to me, that's the most important thing about supporting the show, because for Latinx people, we don't ever really get a happy ending. So it's really nice to see this beautiful rom-com that inspires us, that creates hope for people like us. And for people that are not Latine, it creates awareness and in a sense of connection that we all feel the same thing, right? We all go through heartbreaks. We all celebrate life. And this is really a show about celebrating love and life. And it's told beautifully. So
thank you. I couldn't say it better myself. And remind everyone, it just premiered this weekend, so cue it up this weekend. Miss Justina Machado, ma'am, I definitely want to talk about Dolores Roach, because first of all, this was, again, Gloria calling you up saying, this is an incredible, rich role, and we would like you to be involved. So I'm sure that's a very... is that how it happened? No, how did it happen? Sorry, my bad.
How it went was Gloria and I were thinking of doing a podcast together. And then she said, you should check out this podcast called The Horror of Dolores Roach with Daphne Rubin Vega. And then she gave me another podcast to check out. So I checked out the podcast and I said, oh my God, this is incredible. I would love to play a role like this. This would be amazing. Oh my goodness. Then it came around. I got the role. Gloria came on after, because they realized they needed her after. So she wasn't part of the team in the beginning, but she is most definitely. She wasn't part of the team when we did the pilot, but we went to series. She was part of the team.
Oh my gosh. So, well, first of all, I do love that story even better, and I'm sorry that I had it wrong. Right. I had them from the podcast. Well, talk about listening to the podcast for the very first time and how you knew that you wanted to play it, because it's narrative. It's like you're on this detective's journey and sort of like following literally the horror. So yeah. break folks down and what really intrigued you with it.
I think the rawness of the character, the complete, just out there, nothing to hide, completely raw, so layered. She's not just one thing. She's not a victim. She's not just a monster. She's a lovable serial killer. I swear to God, that's what she is. I swear to God, you'll see. It's like you start rooting for her and you're like, why am I rooting for her? But so it just was another character that women, no matter what ethnicity and race or color you are, hardly get to play a role like this. Do you know, like where you're the anti-hero? It's like a Dexter. It's like a Barry. It's like all of those incredible genre. But now, instead of the woman being the sidekick of a man who's doing this, I'm the one doing this. You know what I mean? And so it's a story we don't tell often. Thank you. Because it's not a happy ending, you know what I mean? But it's also another thing that we don't get to do as Latinos either, you know, play those kind of very out there, like multidimensional, you know, nuanced characters. And so that's what made me say, oh my God, I want to do this. And it's grounded in like urban reality. And I come from the inner city of Chicago. So I related to that urban authenticity of Latinos growing up in this environment, you know?
Again, so incredible. I'm so glad that you get a chance to do it. And honestly, based on what you were saying right here, it wasn't just the idea that you had this moment where it wasn't going great, but then a further partnership, a previous partnership coming in makes...
It wasn't that it wasn't going great. Or it was that they realized that she could really add like she does, because Gloria is a genius and we all love her. And what she brings is just a thoughtfulness and a sensitivity and a collaboration. And that's something, like she said, oh my God, I'm going to be spoiled. Yes, you are. So I'm so happy that she's a part of it. So that's what it was. They realized that she's such an important person to have, you know, on the team.
I love this so much. Talk about, again, I really do love that you guys started it this way with this sort of like journey, but talk about when she joined it, what exactly she brought first and what are the things that you guys wanted to do with it once you guys started going into series. What were your main objectives with the story? Because it's not just what you see on there. It comments, like you say, on so much more.
So what did Gloria?
Yeah, what did you guys together wanted to say was your main objectives with the story that you wanted to achieve throughout the series?
We just wanted to honor the story. You know, Aaron Mark, my creator and my showrunner, has been working on this for 10 years. And it was a one-woman show, and then it became a very popular podcast. So I think we just wanted to bring something different that no one has ever seen, the authenticity of characters, the authenticity of Latino characters, of the people that live in these neighborhoods, the multi-ethnicity of Washington Heights, just, you know, authenticity. I think that's the specificity and authenticity of these people is what was important to us.
I will have to ask, just because it is a horror series, and then again, I know with this one, from what we will see, you guys really wanted to make sure that authenticity was there with the filming and how you guys filmed it, and definitely really putting yourself in environments that was going to make everything that you see even more real. That also provides so many more challenges. So I'm just wondering what that was like. This is not on a studio soundstage. You're out there. I mean, it was. You guys did
all. But they also did an incredible job. Like, I literally spent like 4 months in a basement, you know? So just the darkness of this basement that they built. And it's dank. It's dark.
Wait a minute. That was a set. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
All of that is a set. They built that. That's on a soundstage.
Y'all will see what I mean in a minute.
It's pretty incredible, right? Right? It's like so incredible. The empanada shop, everything is on a soundstage. Everything. So, you know, we did the exteriors in New York, right? Yeah. The exteriors. But everything else was shot in Toronto, Canada, on a soundstage. We got Canadians here? Hey! Yeah. So, I'm sorry, I lost track.
Yes, so just the challenges of what you guys had to do to get that physical sort of like the sets, everything you guys did to make that commitment.
We just had to make sure that the, you know, little things like the Spanish was right. You know what I mean? Like the certain Spanish that we wanted to speak and, you know, not so much proper, but kind of like the stuff you hear on the streets, you know, like we needed to make sure that in the bodega, like all of the words were just little things like that. That was, you know, those tiny things. That's all that really we had to do, because everybody had it together. They had it together.
Sorry, as I hit myself in the face. But that's one of the things that once you do that, you sort of make that commitment, then people don't get distracted from the story. Those little details, because that would be the first thing that the internet is like yelling about. It's misspelled. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that attention to detail.
So those little things. That attention to detail is what...
We noticed.
Yes, exactly. And my co-star is from New York. So, you know, he had... all of that. Yeah,
I do love that. Let's go ahead. Don't take my word for it. Let's take a look so y'all can kind of see. We're going to take a peek and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Go ahead and check out The Horrors of Dolores Roach. And it's all funny now, but she's murdering people, ladies and gentlemen. Like, right? It's like,
she's... Question, did that bleed into your day-to-day life? Did you take anything from your character back home?
I mean, I helped my character.
But that juxtaposition of the horrors that she's committing with the comedy of her, I mean, I don't even know what you call it, because she did get away with it for a long time. Whatever this is, that's also something that's really delicious to play with. But also something that has to be kept through continuity, because you don't, how do I put this? You don't want her to be crazy. You want her to feel rational. So how did you sort of draw that through line through the performance?
I think we talked a lot about tone. That was our biggest thing. My creator and I, we like just nailed down what's the tone, of the show. And you just have to trust that that you're doing it after you've discussed it so much. You know what I mean? And of course, they're on set. And this show, it was all handheld. And that is huge. Everything was handheld, every single scene. So it's like there weren't setups. There weren't, you know, like I was in there. When I walk out of the scene, that's it. It's from my point of view. It's from Dolores Roach's POV. So when she's in every scene. So I think it was easy for me because I was living it, you know. I was there from beginning to end every single day. So I understood the tone. I got it. And I got that it's horror, but it's also comedy, but it's also based in reality. It's grounded because, honestly, Dolores is the most grounded character. All the characters around her are kind of like out there. And she's the most grounded. And that's what everything has to come from being grounded.
Again, because we're taking a peek inside her world. So since she's sort of like the maypole of it, it does look like anything around her is just dancing. You know what I mean? Because you're right. She's so stationary. She's so whatever. I have a hard time thinking it's not the inmates running the asylum when I'm listening to the podcast, but I'm with you on that. They are running it. Because there was a one woman show and then the podcast, these are things that as an actor you can completely throw away. You can lean on them. How far did you want to explore? Obviously, with yours, you already had heard the podcast, but you could decide to get some quick amnesia.
Oh, no. I loved listening to Daphne Rubin Vega. I think that she helped me set the tone. Listening to her, I understood. We're both very different actresses, but she helped me. Like, listening to her helped me know what to do to get the part. You know what I mean? Even though it was my interpretation, it's the tone of the show that was so clear in Daphne's performance.
The other thing I would sort of, I guess, ask from you is that when you look at the character across chapters, you can distill down some key points to what the character is. Like, again, not intentional or not, there'll be just some bullets that you that feel very essential. As we watch it, we'll get it. But what would you say are the big ones that you want audiences to get prepared for to sort of intrigue them on who, you know, this character is and what they're going to follow along with her?
Dolores is a survivor. You know, she gets out of jail after 16 years. She was incarcerated for selling marijuana for 16 years. So it's about getting out of jail, not having anybody, going back into your neighborhood. It's all been gentrified. You have no idea. She is a survivor. So they talk about the references to Sweeney Todd. So my creator always says that the first Sweeney Todd was about like what was happening in the neighborhood, all this social stuff, the musical is about revenge and Dolores is about survival. So she's a survivor and, you know, she goes, there's so many social aspects to it too. It's like, how do you survive after getting out of prison where nobody wants to give you a job and then going to prison for so many years for something for marijuana, then, you know, gentrification, then dealing with losing the home that you always knew and not having anywhere to go. So there's a lot in this. And I think that people can relate to that, but she is a survivor and she's going to do everything to survive.
I think, again, we'll see. Just based on what I know from the podcast, I think I have an idea of where you guys are going. But if there was anything sort of exploring this, because I don't know how much experience you have within the horror genre, at least not probably to this degree.
No, not to this degree.
So if you could sort of like to like take back on what it was like to do this sort of like horror tale for this long, what would it be? Does this now make you think differently about the genre, or is it something that surprised you about it working within it?
That I like it, that it's fun, you know, that, I mean, I love a sitcom because those are great hours. And I loved One Day at a Time. I could have done that show for 10 years, One Day at a Time. That's how much I loved it. I loved it. But if there's a follow-up to One Day at a Time, I'm happy it's the horror of Dolores Roach.
That's even better. One thing I think folks will get to see, just again, based on some of the stuff, how far they go with it, is there one particular episode or moment that you're going to be particularly proud to see audiences react to? Because I think there's going to be a lot of those sort of like this scene, that moment.
There's a lot of those moments, you know, empanada moments especially.
Okay.
I've seen them all, and I'm very proud, really, okay. really proud. And I can't wait for everybody to see it because it's an incredible, incredible show.
All right. Well, again, folks are going to be able to check that one out soon. I just want to make sure, though, that we talk about, again, the person who cannot be with us yes. today. And that is, of course, Gloria Calderon, because she is fighting the good fight right now. But I think both of you have already said it. But there's something, I think, different about the fact that you have her at the helm of these endeavors. And if you could sort of preview what that means, especially knowing the identity representation things that she always just has as a part of her work. It's not even something yeah. you have to discuss because it's just, it's so baked into everything that she does. So talk about how different that is to other sets.
Well, it's very different. You know, I kind of feel like Gloria and I kind of came up together in the one day at a time. There was her first time ever show running, and it was my first time ever being a lead. So we literally kind of formed this collaborative, you know, pretty awesome relationship. And I think that's what she brings, is this collaboration. So many times you can't go up to the person that you're working for and say something. Really, they say it's a safe space, but it's not, you know?
Oh, we
and
have
they
the
can
email.
Hold it against you, yeah, you know? Yeah. You'll have an email from your manager and you'll be like, what? So you never feared that with Gloria. You can really tell Gloria anything, anything.
She has your back.
She's going to have your back.
She's going to raise her voice. Yeah. She's going to advocate for you. She's going to stand up for you. And she's not afraid to going up to the highest ups. And fighting for what she deserves, what everyone else gets, and why yeah. shouldn't we get?
Again, I think that's incredible. We're here at Amazon's Leading Ladies. And again, I will say the network that brings you shows like this and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and just so many other incredibly female-led shows. And we love the boys, too. Nothing against them. Love them boys. But there is something to that. And I think that comes from the top too with Jennifer, and I can talk to that too, because yeah, she has to fight the good fight, but it's different when you're fighting the good fight to willing ears versus fighting the good fight to deaf ears. And having I do think having leadership at Amazon like that does make a difference. I think
oh my God, it does make a difference. And I'm sure it's exhausting for Gloria, I swear, but I know she loves it. Mm-hmm. And I know she puts all her heart into it, and I'm glad she's doing it, because it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, everything that she does and every body that she has to, you know, talk to, you know, and try to persuade and all of those things. But I know at Amazon, I know that I am very grateful that she's a part of. I want to tell you something that she did for our show, which I thought was so incredible. It's like a show is sometimes, you know, it's heated, especially a show like this where I'm playing a serial killer, where, you know, there's a bad word every other word, you know what I mean? And there's just like a lot going on. She brought this team, and I don't even know what they're called, but these two people that came and were kind of like set therapists. And it was incredible, you know? So it's like they took care of us, you know? They would come and talk to me. I would have like sessions with them. And at first everybody was like, what's this? A set therapist? That's so weird, right? And then everybody was using them. So that's what Gloria, that's what I mean about her thoughtfulness and wow. her sensitivity and her also knowing that there's a different way of doing things. It doesn't have to be hard, and it doesn't have to be, you know, hard and difficult. And you don't have to come home from a day at work and be like, I never want to go back to that set again. You know what I mean? It's loving, it's thoughtful, and I just love working with her.
If you want to add anything, but I don't think we could add very much. We also have some questions from the audience, which I really want to thank, because you guys gave some great ones. But I did want to ask you before this is over, because again, it is this weekend with your show, but more so than that, there's, I think, a lot to be said for the fact that your show just has the diversity sort of like baked in with these characters. But there's been sort of like thoughtful moments each season where you guys have tackled, I think, issues. Is there anything that you're sort of surprised that the show sort of gave opportunity to tackle within dating relationships, conversations that maybe don't get, I think, as much care on like a sitcom?
Probably like all of it, you know? Especially, yeah, there's so much of it. We never really talk about love, you know, in your late 70s, right? Talk what happens to love after marriage, right? What does your sex life look like? So I think she really just opened open that conversation for us to have within our set. Also, like with the LGBTQ community, like our show is the first show to ever have a transgender in a leading role where she has a happy ending, where she's falling in love and there's no trauma. So our show is breaking barriers. It's a first. Yeah. So that is really important. Lily's character is learning and living. And me also as Emerald, I'm also learning and living with my co-stars and understanding what it's like. So every day is you learn something new. You try to be your best self. But the industry needs to talk about the real world. And this show is a mirror of what the real world is.
Well, I appreciate that. So well said. Thank you for adding that. Again, it's not all just comedy. There's in everything that Gloria writes, there's always going to be a commentary to more. Let's go ahead and start with this one. I think this is a good one. Who are your favorite leading ladies on TV throughout time? Either one of you. This is from the audience.
I love her. And I love Susie too. I love them so much.
Alex Borenstein.
Oh my goodness. Go ahead. Well, I think because
I really, really enjoy. Yes, I'm gonna just go with Alex Borenstein. She said a great Emmy speech when she accepted her award, and she said something about her grandmother being, at the Holocaust, and she stepped out of line. And because she stepped out of line, she survived. And just really advocating for us to step out of line and for women to step out of line and to fight for what you want and be vocal. And that really resonated with me. And I love her. I mean, after I saw her speech, her performance is great. But,
she's so great.
You know, I think she's really fun. She's just amazing. Yes.
Hacks.
Yeah.
I mean, is she amazing?
Jean Smart.
So there's a lot of exciting stuff that women are doing, you know? It's good to see. Killing Eve was great. There's really so many of them.
No, I love that. That was a great question. Thank you, whoever sent that one. I'm going to ask this one to you. Let me make sure I have this right. Sorry, I'm reading it. When starting your career, did you have any mentorship programs that you were able to participate into or development when you came out to Hollywood? I don't think so. Probably
it doesn't
not.
Exist in our
I think it's existing a little bit more now. Yeah. I mean, we definitely do that now, but not when I got to LA in the 90s, you know, so no.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's something newer now that people are doing, and I think that's incredible. But no, you're just kind of seeing what happens where you go asking questions and just
people don't think. I think when I first started, everybody just thought there wasn't enough. So they were like holding on to it and not wanting to let anybody know what the audition was or what this was. And now we've realized that's a lie, you know, that there's enough for all of us. And the more we support each other, the more work there is. So it took a minute, you know.
And I will say this question sort of touches on both of that. And both of you, I think, should answer it. Do you feel a pressure with being somebody that is part of the Latina representation in Hollywood? Does it make you feel pressure? I'm guessing they're maybe thinking or responsibility for the types of roles you take, which I guess, any pressure.
It's not like if we're like, well, let's just say, what role are we going to take? Should we say yes to this? No to that? What do you think? I mean, there's so few of them. But of course, there's a responsibility. More than anything, like making sure you're doing your job and being better, 10 times better, so you leave the door really wide so other people can come in and follow through. So of course, yes, there's a huge responsibility of the pressure of not again, like I said, I'm repeating myself, but not only being okay, you have to be like extraordinary so people can talk about you and then hopefully, you know, keep creating more opportunities for more of those people to come in, for more Latinos to come in and represent.
There's always a responsibility and I accept that and I'm honored. But what I don't like is every time you do a panel, or most times, is always being asked, do you think there's enough Latino representation in Hollywood? And I'm like, why are you asking me this? You know, it's like I've been asked that for 30 years. I'm like, ask the studios, ask the people that make the decisions. Yeah. So that's what I don't like. I don't like that sometimes it gets overshadowed with our performance gets overshadowed by questions about diversity. Do you know? Yeah. Of course, I know I'm Latina. I'm proud to be Latina, and I'm proud to represent, and I do think about the stuff that I take. I do. I say, is this a layered character? Is this a human character? Is this all of this stuff? But also, that question gets really tired.
Yeah. No, that's fair, because again, you didn't break it. No, absolutely. It's sort of like they broke the window and they asked you how to fix it. Well, I didn't break it. Y'all did.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just here. Exactly. Justina, this is for you. Going from multi-camera to single camera, did you prepare differently? Did that change how you approach the day?
No. First of all, that One Day at a Time was my first multi-cam. I've always done single camera. So no difference at all. And multicam, which is really fun, is kind of like theater. It is theater. And I come from a big theater background. So no, I didn't find it.
This is another one about One Day at a Time. It's been, you know, obviously a few years, but what do you remember when you think about the show most often?
I just remember just loving going to work, even though it took me an hour and a half from Silver Lake to Sony. Welcome to Los Angeles. I miss Todd Grinnell. I'm so lucky. I miss Todd Grinnell. I miss Isabella Gomez. I miss Marcel. I miss Rita Moreno. Seeing Norman Lear and, you know, just hanging out with my sister, Gloria, you know what I mean? And having fun and show night on Tuesdays. It was so exciting to have the show night and to all hang out in dressing rooms after the show. Every day was a pleasure on that set, every day.
One of the other questions is the fact that in your show, Dolores, it's a Puerto Rican neighborhood in NYC that it's sort of like representing. Obviously, going back to those urban roots were important. Was there any particular joy that you were sort of recreating that moment in Toronto, and did you enjoy that one?
Well, I think Washington Heights has a lot of different ethnicities, right? Not just Puerto Ricans. I think it's a lot of Dominicans, you know, in Washington Heights and all kinds of Latinos. I am not from Washington Heights or from New York, but most definitely I am Puerto Rican. And one thing you know about Puerto Ricans is we got flags everywhere. So, like, on the show, we got about 100 Puerto Rican flags. You're welcome. Puerto Ricans do not shy away from the flag. So when you watch the show, I'm not kidding. There is a Puerto Rican flag in every corner. That's authentic.
That's authentic.
I get it.
Emrod, I do have to say, too, as folks can tell from the trailer, you guys definitely do not skimp on the wardrobe. You guys have the most incredible aspects, and I'm not trying to make it frivolous, but I do have to admit that probably helps you so much with character. Like, just, is there a particular outfit from the show that you're, like, wanting to turn to the wardrobe lady and be like...
I did steal a lot of stuff. Don't tell me. Don't put this out. No, but one of them that was really significant is that Lily's double quinceañera, the dress that was made was a replica of like my original quinceañera dress. So that was very significant for me. Yeah. So that's probably the most special I felt, and the episode that was more. Sometimes we forget, like I said, we forget to celebrate ourselves, or maybe I forget to celebrate myself. So that in general, that episode was a really special one for me.
And I do have to say, too, there's been a lot of, I think, incredible moments of the more comedic moments that did not involve you. Is there one? Because there's like a few of like...
Yeah, the one in the trailer, like hats. How about no hats? Yeehaw. You know, I mean, I think Mark and Delicato is a genius. Gloria. I think Gloria is my favorite character. Gladys is character. The Gimp, of course. And just her just coming in and just... You know, saying all the things. You know, she's doing a scene with Andre, that plays Santiago's dad, and Andre Royo. And she says, "Hey, keep your eyes where they should be." And then she's like, "They're supposed to be looking down here or something." You know what I mean? I don't know. She's just so funny. Like, I really just like. I think Gloria steals the show.
I love that she's in it too. It's perfect casting. Justina, I want to add this one for you. It's the same question I was asking her earlier about. This show goes in a lot of different places with tone. It goes from the comedic to the scary. as folks are on this journey, what would you say is the thing that they should sort of like keep as sort of the tagline for why they should go through all of the twists and turns they're about to go? What would you?
It's so fun. I swear, it's so fun. It's so entertaining. You're gonna see people that you like, that you love. We have great guest stars, and it's just, it's shocking. It's exhilarating. It's funny. It's fun, and it's half an hour. Come on. What makes it better?
And everyone can check that out on July 7th on Prime Video. So don't forget to tune in. I want to again thank Amazon, the folks at ATX Television Festival, you two ladies, of course, and thank all of you for watching, even though I hit myself with a microphone. Thank you all, and we'll see y'all next time. Thank you.
You have been listening to the TV Campfire Podcast, hosted by ATX TV co-founders Emily Gibson and Caitlin McFarlane, and produced by Jennifer Morgan. This conversation was recorded live at ATX TV Festival Season 12 in Austin, Texas, between June 1st and 4th, 2023. For more information on the festival and becoming an ATX TV member, follow us at ATX Festival or visit atxfestival.com.